Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello.
Right, that's good evening.
Okay. I don't think we have anybody in the public forum this evening. Oh, we need to start with apologies for absence. Lisa, got...
Councillor Joy Whipps and Councillor Maddie Chapman have both sent apologies.
Any others?
Yeah, I did.
Steve?
I did see Angela.
Angela Boatwright?
Yeah, I didn't see her.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any more? No? Good. So, the meetings of the last meeting, everybody happy with those?
I need a proposal in a second.
Yep. So, somebody like to propose? Proposed by the Deputy Chair. And seconded, Pauline. Thank you. All in favour? Excellent. Good. Don't think there's any matters arising, Lisa, that's not covered. Declarations of interest. Does anybody have a declaration? I went to the items on the agenda. No? Good. Number five, to resolve the press and public be excluded. I don't think we have any items under part two tonight, so that's good. To receiving, consider reports and minutes of committees, working parties, other local bodies, town clerk, deputy town clerk, district and county councillors. First one is planning committee. Joe, do you want to propose those?
I would like to propose the minutes of the planning committees from the 11th of September, the 25th of September, the 9th of October, and the 23rd of October, and to thank Councillor Dunfer for chairing the, I think it was the 9th of October, was it the 23rd?
9th,
yeah. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, do we have a seconder? Two? Thank you. All in favour? Excellent. Personally, I haven't read those minutes tonight. Thank the planning committee for all the work that they put in on a very regular basis to vet all the planning applications that are coming through. Won't say that often enough. Camper van TAF. Notes of the meetings on the 18th of September and the 1st of November, and there is a recommendation from that second meeting to EDDC Cabinet. Do I need to declare an interest there, that I am actually a Cabinet member?
I don't think so, because you'll vote on it and then it goes to Cabinet. So, yeah.
Fred's
always ready to speak to that item.
I'm just going to find the interface.
Okay.
So that is funding for proposed improvements to the estuary side car park. Is reallocated to fund improvements at the Mayor Road car park, that's the first, and the improvements are taken forward as a two-phased plan. Fred, do you want to propose those? And
just trying to find the notes and I'll speak on it. Yeah. Just trying to find it.
Okay. There's a bit more, so while you're finding it, so phase one will provide fresh water and deal with grey waste, which is an issue at present. Some offset car parking in the estuary side car park to mitigate the loss of those spaces, and the introduction of a new policy relating to the charges and management of that car park. And then phase two said we'll need to include provision for accessible toilets and designated parking bays with electrical hookups. Oh, I saw somewhere. Oh, yes, provision for accessible toilet facilities. Is that to do? I assume that was to do with disposal of.
No, toilet facilities.
It's actually the facilities, right. So, so there's grey waste, would that be covered under
phase one?
That's a separate thing.
That's waste.
What I'm trying to ascertain is there going to be provision for people to empty chemical toilets?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I've got the notes now.
Excellent.
I think you've covered most of it, so basically at the meeting, it was proposed and seconded that this recommendation be taken to the next full council meeting in November, here we are, and we're looking for a vote from the town council to take it to what cabinet for East Devon District Council's consideration, because the budget has been allocated previously some years back, and we want to take use of that budget to make these provisions, which will hopefully move things forward with the Camperdown and Motorhome Tap, which was started some 6 years ago. So at least we've come to a plan. The officers have been tasked to go away and make the cabinet recommendation. But I was really saying that I thought it would come, it should come to the town council, because we've all been involved for a very long time, not all of us, but as a town council. So I would like to propose a recommendation that the recommendation met from town council needs to reflect that the town council is happy that the capital funding allocated for estuary car park improvements is to be used in their area instead. Proposed by me at the meeting, seconded by Christine Channon, but I'm now proposing it at this meeting for recommendation. So over to you.
Okay. So I have a couple of speakers. Mark?
I simply wish to second that, Channon, but I would also like to add our thanks, well, my thanks certainly, to Fred, because we have now achieved a proposal which district and supported by county are happy with. They can make it work. And I think what I would like to add to reassure the council is that when this is in place, there will be a review. It will be reviewed before it's rolled out, because I know the district has aspirations to, if it's successful, and we need to survey campervan users once these changes, improvements, I would say, are in place, particularly the facilities. It's not, there won't at the moment be other things that people might aspire to, for example, electricity, you know, pickup charging points and so on. Nor at this stage things that you get in other camper van facilities abroad and some in this country, like shower facilities and laundry facilities and so on, because we know that there are, certainly in Europe, these are quite common. So it's a small step forward, and it will be reviewed, because I know the district have considered rolling this out to the possibility of the estuary car park. But this is, that's just a thought at this stage. So we're going very cautiously on this. When I went through the Mayor car park the other day, there were about 26 camper vans in the designated bays. All, and there were not actually on the seafront on that day. So it does appear to be working so far. What we want to do is to improve the facilities and extend them in a modest way, with a tariff obviously that would reflect the additional charges to the district council. And also it will attract additional revenue as well. And then I would suggest, after 2 years, we haven't discussed a review date, but I would suggest after a couple of years that's reviewed before we take any further. So, you know, with everything that Fred said, what I've said in mind, what we've been working on since, I think it was 2009, and it's a task to finish, or it's taken a long time to finish it at this provisional stage. But we now have a proposal that's agreed, hopefully agreed tonight, to go forward, agreed by the district and agreed by the council. And I'm happy to
Mike, you...
I'll have to second it, but I'm speaking to the...
Steve?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm happy to give my support to the recommendation, and thanks to the cameraman and Cass. Yeah, as you said, Fred, it's been a long time. I can remember proposing the Mayor car park a long time ago, and it's pleasing that something's going to happen. But can you hear me all right? I'm not sure if it's on.
Yeah,
it's on.
I like that. I think it's on.
When we discussed at a previous town council meeting, they've been a look at all the car parks and come back with a report to say which was the best one to do. So have the other car parks been looked at as well, please?
No, the thing from a district council perspective, the car parking's manager, is that back along, it was proposed to use Foxhall's car park. And since Mayor Road car park's already being used in a specific way, the concept from the car parks manager was that it was better to look at these two car parks, since we already had Echelon Parking Acts, East End District Council, provided for small caravans on the seafront or small motorhomes up to 5.2 metres, I believe. That would fit into a space. If they didn't fit into a space, they couldn't park there, they would get anything, but they could park in their road. So we debated this over a number of meetings to come up with a solution for one of the two options, which was Foxhall's or Mayor Road, not any other car park. So after long debate and discussion, it was decided to take forward the proposition to provide facilities in Mayor Road, because we've already got the space down there that's allocated for large campervans and motorhomes. So that was the long and short of the debate, and we came up with a plan. And Richard Easthope was tasked to look at the costing, to all fit it in with the budget that was already allocated. So we felt that was the best way forward, and we took a vote on it. And now we've come up with a recommendation, and we wanted Town Council to give that the sign off that it deserved.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian?
Thank you, Ollie. Does this mean, Fred, that the District Council aren't going to pursue their aspirations to have campervans parking in the station car park along the estuary?
That is correct.
They don't wish to do that. So, as a knock-on effect from this, direct knock-on effect from this, that would affect the situation regarding the toilets. At one stage, it was considered that the toilets would be kept there to support the campervans parking there. So the knock-on effect from this is the possibility that the toilets won't be left available for public use for the train station and the bus station, which I think needs to be looked into, because that's going to have severe consequences.
Can I
add? Thank you.
In reply, Brian, I think the toilets is a different subject matter than the campervans and motorhomes. Thank you.
They were reliant on the campervans.
Yeah, but I'm answering your question.
Indeed.
They're no longer anything to do with making a campervan motorhome decision.
Okay, thank you.
Lisa?
Yeah, no, so the toilets at the railway station were Category C toilets, along with Jarvis Close. So they were always destined for closure following the public toilet review. But you're right that because funding was allocated for some improvements to motorhome parking, there was this sort of suggestion that they might be able to upgrade the toilets at the station to include improvements for motorhomes. But the principle of motorhome parking at Estuary Side Car Park was never established. So there was a bit of disconnect in terms of the aspirations of the motorhome TAF and what the car parking TAF were doing. They didn't really sort of join up. And from a planning point of view, Ed Freeman is certainly of the opinion that allowing motorhome parking on the Estuary Side Car Park, because of its proximity to the triple SI status, being an estuary, that, and also potential change of use implications, that it doesn't look as though that's going to be very achievable. There's a whole load of issues around the use of estuary side car park for anything other than standard car parking. So the outcome of that was that there's a recommendation that the funding that had originally been earmarked for improvements on that site is put to use immediately to improve some facilities at Mare Road Car Park. But as Fred said, it's got a little bit complicated because the public toilet review didn't really take account of what was going on with the motorhome TAF, and there's a little bit of disconnect there. But the funding that was allocated is now going to, if the cabinet report goes through, will be allocated for Mare Road.
I see, thank you.
Yeah.
And I would add to that, the car parking people don't appear to be talking to the planning people either, so
it's a bit complicated,
one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We have a proposer and a
Thank you, Ollie. Yeah, I was just going to ask Councillor Fred Cahill about the implications for landlords, because if we remember when foxholes were being suggested as an issue, we were talking about could we fit any van lifers there when they were not allowed to be in the estuary side car park anymore. So what's consideration given to that issue in your discussions?
Yes, they can come and be customers of the District Council, Mare Road Car Park.
But only for
the campground facility.
Only for 3 days though.
Yeah. So they can come within the provisions of the site. But if we know such thing as them coming and getting it free. They will come and be able to provide themselves with facilities and pay the fee. So, yes, there is provision for them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, if we have no more speakers, then we have a proposer and seconder, so all in favour.
It's carried, thank you.
Any against? Brian, any abstentions? Nick? Oh, and Tim? And I will also abstain.
Who else abstained? Sorry, Tim and Nick and
Joe.
Joe, okay, thank you.
I probably should abstain as well.
Okay.
That'll be one less on the floors. I'll keep it powder dry for cabinet. Okay, so moving on to the Climate and Ecological Working Party. So that's over to you, Tim.
Thank you, Ollie. Yeah, I'd like to present notes for the meeting held on the 3rd of October and give a brief verbal update of the meeting held on the 7th. One of the big issues that the working party has been dealing with has been the Exmouth Cup, which has been used as a reusable cup around various cafes in Exmouth. And so far, although it's early days yet, but it seems like it's going quite well. The take-up is good. There are one or two cafes that have been very much against it, but it is hoped that they may fit into the scheme as it goes along. We were very lucky on the last meeting, on 7th of November, that we had Plastic Free Exmouth giving a presentation. Now, that particular group, when we were doing our plastic reduction working party, which Councillor Alex Sadiq will remember chairing, we were trying to encourage them to get in action, because that group were not very active. Now, this has turned on its head, and the group has been, as people will know, very active in beach cleanups and that kind of thing during COVID. But they are doing a lot of other things, and of course, they were recognised by Servers Against Sewage as a plastic-free community a year or so ago, and they're working on all sorts of projects, and we were very pleased to hear their presentation. And personally, I'd like to repeat the thank you that we made to them in that working party for all the hard work that they really have put in, and the productive work as well. The other big debate we had, or I say big debate, I think we all agreed, a lot of work has been done by Zoe, our climate officer, and by Councillor Louise Reynolds here, on linking up with the people who initiated the plant-based treaty. Now, I think anybody who reads the national press and everything will know that that although changing our eating habits away from meat and towards less meat, if you like, is one of the big challenges really of climate change, because a lot of emissions are based on that. And so we had a debate. We accepted that in our outreach work and in our work through the community, through our websites, etc., we would encourage those changes, but of course we don't have power to force any change on people, but we thought it was a good idea, so we bring that to you as within our notes within there. So I think that's all I'd like to say. And any questions, please?
Noting. Okay, that's fine. Those are noted. Thank you, Tim, for that verbal update. Very useful. So we move on to the community organisation liaison panel. Who chairs that one?
I chaired it.
Oh, thank you.
It's normally David Paul, but Pauline chaired that one.
Yeah, just to
keep
my notes
on the meeting. I formally thank Pauline for stepping the last minute, because I was unable to attend to work out.
Thank you, David.
Right, thank you.
So I've just presented the notes for the meeting held on the 25th of September.
Okay. Questions for Pauline there? No? Okay, those are noted then. Community Resilience Working Party. That is you, David. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. All I'm going to say is please note the notes, and also look in detail for the memorandum. That was discussed in depth because there was concern expressed that there was not 24-hour cover provided for the seafront flood defences. Since then, and I understand from talking with the officers that both the Environmental Agency and East Devon have given assurances that this has to be sufficient warning, but the major events coming in, that we had stolen last week, that they will be able to attend and make sure the defences are safe. I'm fairly happy with that. It was discussed in detail, and I know Tim and others were exceptionally concerned about it because we pay a lot of money, or the government pay a lot of money, and the needs budget didn't get over. But it's, I think it's all been sorted. There is one small issue which appeared after the storm. It seems that NCI took upon themselves to do an inspection of the seafront, mainly to make sure that people were not behaving stupidly with the big waves coming in. They did notice that one of the gates was open, that's slightly ajar, and sandwood didn't go on the road. That is not a discussion with East Devon, and hopefully the solution will be found. Whether that involves NCI actually becoming, I won't say a party to the agreement, but at least being informed what's going on, then safely, and then felt this fault with the one kid, which they sorted out themselves. So again, I think they deserve all thanks.
Absolutely, Tony. Thanks. Yeah, another piece of work that they are taking responsibility for. So if there's no questions for David, those are noted. Exmouth Transport Working Party, that's you again, Tim. I have the notes of the meeting on the 19th of September.
Yes, I have nothing else to add to the notes. Thank you, Ollie. Thanks. Any questions?
Okay. Oh, Steve?
Yeah. Yes, Tim. Parking of buses are still going on outside the leisure centre, and I've noticed recently a stagecoach leaving buses parked up on the parade. Mm. Has that been discussed at all with stagecoach, please?
We thank you, Steve, for that question. Which I'm sure Councillor Bailey will also echo.
Do appreciate the question, Mr.
As we know, this is something that we've been asking about for many years. Now, my and Stagecoach have never really addressed the problem head on and talked about it. Now, my understanding is that at the current stage of the levelling up bid gateway section, one of the ideas of the so-called upgraded bus stop by the leisure centre is that proper parking be allowed for layovers of buses in that area. Now, I remember you mentioning to me the other day that you thought that they were doing that in the parade as well, and I haven't asked that question of anybody, so not sure on that one. So that's all I can tell you.
I think if Stagecoach were to turn up to the partnership duties occasionally, that would help, but perhaps we need to write to them. Brian?
Thank you, Ollie. Yes, you hit the nail on the head. If they were ever to turn up for a meeting, it would be a red letter day in the central debate. But current legislation clearly states, and Tim and I mentioned this when Stagecoach did so many years ago, that a bus stop is a bus stop to let people get onto the bus and let people alight from the bus. It's not parking bay for a bus. And this is in legislation which is currently active now, and it's been around for a considerable amount of time. Also, due to the part of the Anti-Terrorism Act, buses are not allowed to park unattended for any longer than necessary. So it's technically illegal to park a bus with no driver or no one looking after it, for obvious reasons. And Stagecoach don't take any notice of this. Tim and I have pointed it out again on numerous occasions. So we're just banging my head against a brick wall. I don't know what it's going to take to get them to notice. And it's a disservice to the public, because if anything was to go awry, Stagecoach aren't. I haven't got a leg to stand on, but it doesn't seem to work. Now, this is supposed to be a public service. We're not here to provide parking spaces and brake spaces for their drivers. They used to use the station. We suggested that, and they said, well, they should have put their schedules out. But the 57 schedule is just laughable. You see one, and 2 minutes later, you see another one. They're supposed to be 15, 20 minutes apart. But they can't get the time to go to the back of the station and give their drivers a proper break. So it's just, they're being so difficult and being so awkward. So what the answer is, I do not know, but we'll keep trying. But it's not been very successful at all at the moment. I think we need a person with a bit more clout than we have a suggesting councillor, which is Scott, will probably look into this. And this is, would that be possible, Richard?
Thank you, Chairman, for allowing me to introduce your meeting. Councillor Bailey, you may recall that I answered this question to you on December 6, to. So this was a question asked at your full council meeting before that date, which I'm not sure what day that was, but the layovers, we've agreed with Stagecoach. Stagecoach don't get to decide where the layovers are, they get to request, but the authority decides where the layovers go because they require traffic orders. So I get your point that you maybe think Stagecoach would be difficult, but they're not a decision maker, they're a county council, so they can request where they are. But you did get a real response from the three of us on the 6th of December, which Lisa, I've just forwarded that to you now as well, if you want to distribute that to everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Don't think we've got any more on the Transport Working Party, so those are noted. Flooding and, Festival and Events, yes, Joy isn't here, so I'm happy to. We need a verbal update. And then
yes, I can say a few words. We mostly discussed the arrangements for the Winter Festival, which is the first weekend in December, with an ice and fire theme. We're still putting the final touches together for the lantern parade, but we will require assistance from as many councillors as possible to marshal the lantern parade, and we will be in touch when we've confirmed the route, which is imminent. Other than that, that was mostly it. It was mostly the winter festival arrangements.
That and the fact that we now have a site for the tree.
Yes, and the fact that we've got a tree pit in the Strand, which will allow us to have a tree switch on in the Strand.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, Pauline.
I'm not quite sure whether it comes under festivals, but I would like to say how good yesterday's remembrance service was. And I think, you know, we put on most of it at County Council, and I think it was much better. The microphone was excellent. And I'd like also to thank the Exmouth yard farmers for putting all the poppies around the trees, because they really made it look nice. And so I just think our thanks goes to work.
It's a bit of a team effort, but yeah,
yeah.
Molly did a lot of the legwork on it.
Thank you. I think it's really good.
Yeah, apparently it was on a webcam as well.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be.
Flooding and land drainage. Steve.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just a brief update on the last meeting. The members went to visit the sewer station down at Mayor Car Park, and they all found it extremely interesting. So they told me they learned something from it. It didn't smell as bad as what people thought it might smell as. There is also, or has taken place, another exercise down at with the floodgates. So they're now fully up and operational. There's been a few technical issues that have been put right as well. And there were reports of, obviously with the bad weather that we had previously, that some drains in the town were getting blocked, and that's been the last one. We await the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay. I noticed as I cycled back from the allotment and did the rain the other day, the water was bubbling out in one of the covers at the top. Of Bradham Lane, so going to those what it was like at the bottom. Any questions there? That's noted. So Gorfin Hall, we have a verbal update. Who chairs that one?
We weren't quorum actually, so Cherry was the only councillor that attended, so we didn't elect a chairman. But we did meet with our primary tenant, which is Sunshine Nursery. We discussed some potential improvements that we need to make to Gorfin Hall. So we are going to get some quotes, cost up the improvements, and then we will bring them back to the next meeting to get some approvals in place. We've got reserves for improvements to Gorfin Hall, but there are a few things. It's obvious it's in need of decoration. Heating system is a bit antiquated, and there's a possibility that we might be able to install some batteries to harness the energy from the solar panels that might enable us to put a better heating system in. So we're going to do a little bit of work on that, and we'll bring it back for approval.
Okay, thank you, Aurora. You had a question.
Thank you, Chair. Lisa's just answered my question. I was going to ask about the solar panels, how they were doing, and whether we've got anything back on them. Thank you,
Jim. So we're not selling any excess energy to the grid. But in fairness, when the solar panels were put in, the prediction of what we could sell back at that time and the feed-in tariffs, obviously the whole climate of feed-in tariffs has changed since we had the solar panels installed anyway. But we were only looking at being able to sort of sell about £60 worth of energy back to the grid. We didn't have the right type of meter installed to enable us to do that, to sell the excess energy back. We could now install a new meter, but the new meter is going to cost us about £600. So it would take us 10 years potentially to cover the cost of what we can sell back. So at the Gorfin Hall meeting, we decided that probably a better route is the excess energy that we're not selling back, that's just effectively being wasted. If we install batteries that we can harness that excess power, then we can probably use that to run the heating, and then that'll be used off peak, and that will hopefully reduce further our energy costs. But I have got a report that shows what the savings are post solar panels and pre solar panels in terms of our electricity consumption costs, and they've come down dramatically, and I'm happy to share that report with everybody. But the next step is really to look at what we can do in lieu of selling the excess energy back to the grid. It's looking at how we can harness that for further benefit to Gorfin Hall, and we'll come back with some proposals for that. Yeah.
Sorry to bowl a googly, Chair, but I, because Lisa discussed this with me the other day, I would just like to know why, in the initial instance, why we didn't get the meter that could be used in that way.
Because we were signed into a 3-year contract with Opus Energy at the time. And we weren't on a business tariff, or we weren't on the right sort of tariff that would allow us to put a different meter in. So we decided that we would wait until we renewed our electricity contracts. And then when we renewed our electricity contracts, the whole climate had changed anyway, and now, you know, the incentives that were in place aren't there anymore, really. So. We weren't at a point where we could have the right type of meter. I mean, Julie did an awful lot of work trying to establish if we could get a different meter in, but it was to do with the way that we were classed. I think we were classed as a large business or something. We'd been classed incorrectly, or maybe we needed to be classed as a large business, but we didn't meet their criteria anyway for the meter. So, but when we've looked back over the paperwork, as I say, I think the projections even then were that we would only be able to sell about £60 worth of energy per annum back to the grid. So, you know, we haven't lost a huge amount, but I think if we can harness that excess energy now for our own benefit, then that's a win-win. So, yeah.
That's noted. Town maintenance overview working party. Notes the meeting held on the 5th of October. Those are attached. Any questions for Ian? Good. All noted. And Waterfront Working Party, notes the meeting held on the 26th of September. Was that the walkabout I joined?
Yeah, that was the walkabout.
Yeah, that was good fun, yeah.
We've had some success already, actually, because they're actually repainting and redoing the shelters, which is really good news.
I didn't notice some.
I just hope that they can do something with the perspex, because it looks really awful. So we've asked if they could do something with that to make it look cleaner. It looks like they've wiped off the graffiti and just left it all anyhow town.
It really
looks awful. But it's nice to see they're actually doing some work down there, because we were told we'd only do it every 5 years. So we've had some success. Okay, so that's the notes of the meeting. Anybody's got more questions?
No? Okay, thank you for that. So those are noted. Reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. First one is Fair Trade. Tim?
Yeah, I did actually circulate very, very late. And thank you, Lisa, for putting it out to everybody. So should be on your tablets there.
Yeah.
The big news at the moment, apart from, I mean, I told you last time that we had been, Exmouth had been renewed for our Fair Trade Town status. We're now expecting next week a visit from the CEO of the Fair Trade Foundation nationally, which I think is, you know, he's coming to Devon generally, a guy called Mike Gidney, and he's coming to Exmouth, I think particularly because the Beacon School have hosted an annual schools conference on Fair Trade for many years now, and he's visiting the school. But he has an hour to spare, and those of you who haven't been able to have a look at my report there will see that on Wednesday next week, Wednesday morning in fact, he's got an hour which the proposal from the group, the steering group, was that he spent it with us, and we visit a Fair Trade cafe. But I suggested, well, wouldn't it be a good idea if, because he's meeting county councillors, I believe, as well in Exeter, wouldn't it be a good idea if, with all the support our council here has given over the years, that we perhaps ask for some meeting space here so that he can come in, give us a brief talk, and answer any questions that or points that we want to make. And I'd ask if the council would support that, and if, you know, maybe I can make arrangements to actually reserve the room and do it. So I ask what people think, really.
Sounds like a good idea. Steve?
Yeah, very happy to support that idea, Chair. It would make ideal sense if we can find Robbie here to put a little reception on for him and for all the councillors to come and see what Fair Trade actually get up to in it.
Okay, so presumably a calendar invite will go out when you...
Can I ask, Lisa, do we have your support?
Yes, that's fine. Just liaise with me tomorrow and we'll... check the availability of rooms and things like that. Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you. Great, thank you all. Good. Thank you, Tim. Ex-Estuary Management Partnership Committee, that's Graham.
Thank you, Jim. Pretty much to report from the Ex-Estuary meeting on the 26th of September. It was pretty much housekeeping stuff, budgets and the annual plans and annual review and so on. And I don't have a further update on the boardwalk, so I assume it is the repairs on the boardwalk are up to date for completion in January 24. I haven't heard anything to the contrary, so I think I have to bear with it, but I'll try and get an update for the next meeting, Chair. So that's the accessory. If there's any questions, of course.
Thank you. Don't think we've got any questions. And it's seamlessly on to you again, Graham, the placemaking in Exmouth Town and Seafront Group.
We have
some notes of the meetings.
Yes, so, highlight a couple of things that were raised on the placemaking committee. One, we were presented with what they call an emerging placemaking plan framework. This is very much a strategic document which was going to go forward to EDDC, Cabinet, for approval so it can move on to the next phase. And within that framework, a strategic document, there was very much some bigger picture stuff, to be honest, and say it's, you know, as broad as half the availability of land for development and tourism opportunities, a very broad statement. But also interspersed with the report as a whole, there were some suggestions, some examples, if you like, given about, if you like, some of the thinking behind what the consultants are suggesting here. And they're not cast in tablets of stone, they really were examples, which did prompt discussion amongst the councillors in attendance. And there were things that were picked up, for instance, you know, there was no specific mention of security lockups for electric bikes, for instance. But there was also some macro stuff about the responsibility, the reputational damage that it may go on with South West Water not cleaning water. And so it's very nice to have a nice place in due course, but unless we get these other issues right, then of course, you know, for all the work that's gone into this, it could be shooting ourselves really in the foot, or South West Water could be shooting us in the foot if we don't get things like that right. So there's a mix of the macro and the micro, to be honest. It was suggested that this, they're looking at a 10-year period, not from instigation, that they want to get some quick wins in, certainly with signage and the way marking and so on, where you can get some quick wins in, but there are also some longer term suggestions and ideas that were put forward. So the key thing just at the moment that came out of that committee was that they wanted to move this particular plan, the strategic plan, to go to Cabinet, and the group certainly supported that. One thing that was very much highlighted, though, was for the placemaking to work, and the number of the ideas to be instigated, will require the three councils working together. And it's a point well made, and they want to basically form a steering group to oversee and coordinate the placemaking plan. So talks will have to take place between Devon County Council, obviously East Devon, and ourselves. Because coordination is critical. So that is going forward to Cabinet as a recommendation that a steering group be formed. And then finally, the third point going forward to Cabinet is that a park and ride facility be considered on the outskirts of Exmouth, which provides necessary space for motorhomes, coaches, and lorries, etc. So those three recommendations are going forward to EDDC Cabinet on the 29th of November. I'm sure there may be some questions, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Aurora.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Graham. Are we not going round in circles here? I've been following this from the word go from the very, very beginning when it was Splash. The new councillors won't know that, but it started off as that. I've read all the things on it and I understand what you're doing, but you're actually not doing a lot. I know there's a lot of things gone into it, but I know you're joining it all together. I understand what's happening here with the levelling up and the gateway and everything else. But I would just like to ask a few simple questions, and I would like to ask you to put them forward. Just little things like the dinosaur park. Are we going to continue having the dinosaur park? Is it going to be updated, please? The Coast Watch, well, we need the Coast Watch. They're invaluable on the seafront. You know, it's all to do with placemaking. It's in that area. And also Harbour View Cafe, what's happening to that, please? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, the report was not covering detail like that. So I think those questions probably have to go to...
Can I just ask, Chair, then, could those questions be put through to the meeting? I can't go to the placemaking. Can somebody not put those questions forward for me,
yeah,
please?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Graham and I make a note of those. We'll ask Tim Child on behalf of facets. Did you get all those?
Yes, I did.
Well done. Fred, sorry, I missed you there.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. First one is the presentation by WSP's placemaking consultant and proposed actions to deliver the following strategic objectives. And there was 6 bullet points. Now, all those bullet points have been visited before in all sorts of different ways, back in the days of the Regeneration Committee, about continued and connected and continuous public ground strengths relationship between town centre and seafront. So, you know, are we really reinventing the wheel from many years ago? Looks like it. You know, encouraging active and sustainable transport in the town centre and the seafront. Can someone tell me what active and sustainable transport in the town centre and the seafront is? Because we've talked, as councillors and lots of members of the public have talked about improving the seafront, but still we're in the same status quo of a cycle path on a very large wide footpath actually kicked into touch somewhere else. Even the park runners who I spoke to only yesterday, the guy who runs it, he said that the cycle path should be moved. You know, we should look at other ways of actually having transport on the seafront, such as making it more active and sustainable while reducing speed, making it one way, put a cycle path onto the road. That would be radical, wouldn't it? But we've got it in Finhoe, you know, up in Salton, where we've got a two-way cycle path, which is curved. So if we can do it in Pinhole, we can do it on extra seafront. But there's no desire from Devon County Council to do anything such as that. Because when I addressed it before Devon County Council officers, all the county councillors didn't want to pursue it. And I say that with all honesty, and I was replied with an email from the officer. The other thing is, I brought up with a presentation about park and ride for car parking when we built a new road out at Dinor Way. And that was thrown out by the county councillor that spoke on it, who is here tonight. And yet, we've just talked about motorhome campervan tag, and yet someone is now talking about a park and ride facility. Now, a park and ride facility, I always understood, was park for car parks. You know, as people park a car, they get on a bus and make transport more sustainable. So to consider it on the outskirts of Exmouth, which provides necessary space for motorhomes, coaches and lorries, it just strikes me that one committee's not talking to another committee, as is the case with all local authority. And as it's rightly pointed out by Lisa earlier, you know, people are not talking to each other, and I think you even mentioned that as well, Chair. So I'm just a bit sceptical about it. So thank you very much for my comments.
Okay, that's the right. Well, I think that is one of the reasons why this steering group was suggested, because it was very obvious looking at the consultant's recommendations that it wasn't going to happen unless all three councils were involved in working together and all seeing from the same image. And I totally agree about the cycle path along there. It is not fit for purpose, either as a cyclist or a pedestrian or a motorist. But because DCC won't give up any road, we have a problem in putting it on the road, which would be the obvious place. And some cyclists just use the road anyway because they won't use the cycle path because we can't get up any speed on it. So it is an issue. Richard, do you want to come back on anything? Okay. So those are noted. And thank you, Graham, for those observations. Twinning Association, Tim, we've had a written update from you, haven't we?
No, not on the Twinning Association.
No.
I said I'd give a brief update on that. Just to say that the Twinning with Dinon, we are... travelling to Dinan in 2024, and we are going in June, and arrangements for the transport are being made. I'd like to say at that stage thank you to Council for its support for our twinning activities on both France and Germany, and I, as the twinning's representative and the Council's representative on twinning, will be coming and asking for the usual support for the trip to France, i.e. A financial donation to match with ours for the gifts that we always give one another when we visit. The German Langevier twinning, that's happening in July, and Langevier are coming here, and we are, our little subcommittee on that are meeting on Friday, in fact, to start planning and organising all the venues and the dinner and all the other things that we do. So, going well, and thank you for your support, councillors.
Okay, thank you. Don't think we have any questions there. The Allotments Association, there are some notes from the most recent meeting in there. There is a meeting on Wednesday night, actually, of the Allotment Committee, but as I shall be here with Andrea Davis, I don't know. How long is she expecting to stay, Lisa? Do we know? An hour and a half. I might manage to get up to the... They now hold the meetings in the allotment shed, so I have to get up there. Graham.
No, Chair, if I could just ask one question, not so much directly at the minutes, but have Clinton Devon Estates been in touch about the Plum Park allotments at all yet?
Not recently, but going back since the first shovels were put in Plum Park, I've had lots of conversations with Clinton Devon about how the Town Council will potentially manage those allotments. And in fact, I've spoken to our Allotment Association about it as well. Whether they get sort of absorbed into the existing management committee and absorbed and managed in the same way as the existing portfolio is a little bit of a moot point, because what is being provided at Plum Park is somewhat different to what we've got at Hamilton Lane and Pound Lane. Cheryl, the chair of the Allotment Association, is aware of this. So it may be that we either need to set up a separate management committee for Plum Park, or we need to manage them in-house. We could manage them in-house quite easily. There's an add-on to our account software that allows you to manage allotments. But yes, Lee Ricks was my point of contact, and of course he's retired. So I'm assuming it's now Claire James. So I have reached out to her in the last couple of weeks to ask her if there's any progress updates to report. I haven't heard back from her yet, but in the Section 106 agreement, it quite clearly states that those allotments will be given to the Town Council to manage, and we've had some initial discussions about that, yeah. So I am aware, and so is the Allotment Association, but the devil's in the detail.
I'll just add to that, be careful what you take on, Lisa. You would not believe what is
in the management
of allotments.
No.
And in fact, they had an AGM recently, which I wasn't able to attend, but I did send in a little eulogy, really, to the committee to say, since joining that committee, I have been astonished at how much management is actually required. Not just paying all the water bills and everything like that, but the ongoing maintenance, issues like vandalism and security, and controlling what people actually do on their plots and what they put on there and who's looking after their plot and who isn't. It is a surprising amount of work, but of course that's the Hamilton Lane is huge.
Well, there's 400 odd plots between the two sites,
that's
whereas
right.
The Plum Park will be a lot more modest.
Yeah.
The point I was making is that the management of allotments is within the power of the Town Council,
yeah.
And because it's an established power, there are lots of, you know, as I say, there's an add-on to our accounts package that allows you to manage tenancy agreements and collection of rents and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So administratively, it would be relatively easy for us to manage that in-house. So I agree, the wider sort of management aspects could be somewhat complicated. But, you know, it's not a direct fit with what we've got already. So, you know, they're putting sheds on the allotments up at Plum Park. The Hamilton Lane and Pound Lane, they don't come with sheds. They're not measured in rods at Plum Park. The allotments at Hamilton Lane and Pound Lane are measured in rods. So the charging mechanisms, you know, there's lots of things that they're not necessarily going to be a good fit for EDAA to take on. So, yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I didn't mean to
overlap that. No, it's useful. It's useful for you all to know that, you know, those conversations have taken place. But we are going to have to make a decision going forward about how we manage them when they're eventually handed over to us.
They've also just had the AGM. So as I said, I wasn't able to get to the AGM, but apparently only, in spite of my writing this glowing eulogy, only 11 people turned up to the AGM. Whereas I went last year, there were about 30 or 40 people there. So it suggests either there was something really good on the telly that afternoon, maybe it coincided with rugby, I don't know. It suggests that on the whole, people are happy with how things are going. It is a very good committee and they are very businesslike.
Can I just, there's one thing on the minutes that I picked up, which was the possibility of excess produce being donated to the food bank.
Yep.
Can you take back that it's probably better to think in terms of donating excess food to the fridges, the community fridges, because the food bank will not take perishable goods. They'll only take dried goods and tinned foods and things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas the community fridges would take perishable food. Produce, fruit and veg produce.
Okay. Thank you. Pass that on. Okay, good point. Okay, those are noted.
Yes,
it is.
Ollie's got you down. Yeah, he's got you down.
No, you're right, I nearly missed you.
You
went to the Housing Commission meeting organised by Dal.
No, actually, I went, that was our Zoom meeting, and it was chaired by Lord Best, who was the leader of the social housing in the House of Lords. And it's a working group where people find ways of helping the housing crisis in Devon, whether it be to change policies, change planning law, or trying to build more social housing. Some councils have formed community land trusts. This is where a council looks to purchase a piece of land, or perhaps a local farmer will give a piece of land at a reduced price. And then they're working with a housing association or a builder to build the houses. And when they're built, they're bought by local people that have lived all their lives here and are at a reduced rate, but the freehold stays with the council. And then they can only resell them at a reduced rate to another local person. So in actual fact, they're kept in maturity. A prime example is here at council, where they've got two community land trusts there. Another thing I thought of was about the retirement homes, which are taking over our town, but are not for the local people, but for lots of people from the southeast. And this is an imbalance in the population, where younger people are leaving as they can't afford, as wages aren't high enough to buy houses. Our hospital and the doctors can't cope, and the villages don't give anything back to the community, i.e. sell or 106. Also, the neighbourhood plan was brought up, trying to stop big builders like McCarthy Stone buying up all the land for retirement homes. I explained that we had made a mistake in our policies, that when we tried to save our employment land and it went to appeal, McCarthy Stone used our neighbourhood plan against us, as we had stated that we wanted one or two properties that we didn't say who they were for. And it was used again, is it to Churchill today or tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the spring there'll be a survey where we and other councils will be able to show what policies need to be tightened, and then they can be all shared to Devon to make sure that nobody else suffers the same as what we have. I put in my survey form, that's in my own survey form, if 20% of all retirement homes in Exmouth are empty, then planning, There should be no planning for any more. And there's over 20% at the moment that's left empty. That's preventing Miss Hartley's stone being built. So please help them with your suggestions and filling in the surveys. They need evidence, and the next meeting will be in the spring, where they're going to bring out the survey for us to fill in.
So the survey link was circulated to councillors, and I hope many of you filled that in.
Yeah.
But can I just give an update on where we are with the housing, the neighbourhood plan, housing needs assessment and policy review?
Just really quickly just say, it is the Jutians appeal tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow? Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's lots of reasons, aside from what you mentioned, why it shouldn't, you know, that the appeal shouldn't go through, but who knows.
Right, that's what they usually use.
Well,
and they use that because our neighbourhood plan could have stopped it in its tracks because it's as good as a planning document. Unfortunately, we didn't tighten our policies.
That, you know, that they said that with this, you know, that there was a suggestion that the wording of it doesn't quite cover it off. At least we'll talk about that in a minute. But even so, I don't really know what to say.
It's unbalanced in the population. At the moment, it's unbalanced.
The thing that gets me is that the whole town, you know, I've had emails about it. You see it on social media. The whole town, young and old, says this is ridiculous.
Mm.
Why are you imposing this on this honesty in that place? As you say, because it's in a retail zone. There's no. There's a tiny amount of S106 going to the NHS, but there's no cell queue. Apparently, when we turn around and say we don't need any more retirement homes, we're the ageist ones.
Yes.
We're being ageist. It just basically the whole town said we don't need this and we don't want this. And that's the message I'm going to try and get across along with the legislation thing. By the way, there are 66 retirement properties on Zoopla today, because I've looked. Empty. We don't need 54 more, we just don't. We're just practicing for tomorrow, isn't it?
It's like East Devon, really, we should have bought the land. We have been like the Wayne Carthy Stone have been now. We should have bought the land and we should have developed it. Exeter has got their own housing association, but at the moment they're in a bit of trouble at the moment.
I think the issue is we didn't know it was for sale. I mean,
we did know it was for sale.
Did we? Well, because
we tried to buy it, but they wouldn't let us buy it.
It's just not
Can I give an update just quickly? So, Pauline's comments about the neighbourhood plan, I mean, you know, notwithstanding the fact that the neighbourhood plan could be challenged anyway because we don't have a 5-year land supply, so actually the strength of the neighbourhood plan is weakening day on day anyway. But you'll be aware that ACOM have been commissioned now to do a housing needs assessment for Exmouth. They will look to try and identify what type of housing we need, affordable housing, but do we need 2-bedroom houses for families? Do we need 3-bedroom houses? What sort of housing do we need? And then there's scope for us to strengthen our policies to make sure that is what comes forward. So that piece of work has started already. We should have our housing needs assessment should be complete by the new year. And then simultaneously, there's a policy review that's being undertaken. And we've already flagged up that the policies relating to housing need particular attention. So hopefully they will come forward with some better, tighter wording that enables us to get what we actually need. So.
I think they hope that when we get it, that the whole of Devon, all the villages and everybody will use that. Same as we all use the same neighbourhood plan for housing because it affects us all, whether in a little village or a large town. We're all in the same boat at the moment. So I think it'd be a good idea if the circulation of our neighbourhood plan policies with other neighbourhood plans, because we weren't the only ones who got done with somebody in the same hands, exactly the same.
Mm.
Right, thank you very much for that, Pauline. That's very timely, I think. Okay,
District councillor reports, you've had those. Any questions on those? No? Good. County councillor's report. Thank you for waiting, Richard.
So I have three children that I will have to be pension. A few points I've been down, which I'm responding to. So firstly, the Reverend Sunday. I thought it was an excellent service, as it always is, so thanks to the town council for its part in organising it. Council Whitley and Council Gazard, I'll give you a special mention for entertaining my 3-year-old daughter. I think she's actually enjoying playing the games you were playing with her. You've been sent an invite, I believe it's going to come from you, for an event on the 11th of December with Council John Hart, reference to budget.
So that clashes with our full council meeting. So we're going back to DALC to ask if our members can attend any of the other briefings that he's doing.
I don't see why not.
I think last year the invitation was extended to all of them, but like the 11th of December is a full council meeting. So
I don't see why there'd be an issue with it. They're not official council meetings, so it's an informal catch up with John. It's an opportunity for you guys to feedback information. Council Dean, so the boardwalk you referred to the section between Limpston and Exmouth. So the update for the 9th of November is that they are going to be installing two spans a day. There's 72 spans in total, and there's two that have been converted to embankments. So as of the 9th, there's 66 to do, by doing two a day. So realistically, provided there's no issues with weather, etc., I'd expect 6 to 7 weeks. That's from the 9th of November. Councillor Cahill referenced your point about the cycle path on the Esplanade. It no longer exists. It will be replaced. The signage will be replaced in time because it was for shared use. So we're not going to remove the current markings, they just won't get renewed. So your point about no one listening is incorrect. Reference park and rides. Again, Councillor Cahill, I believe your question was, why couldn't have one, which you were not dismissed again. It was explained you don't have the land. It was also explained that the current park and rides in Exeter are all failing, as is bus patronage in general. So to mirror Councillor Arm, and his answer when he's asked a similar thing, if you want to take buses, start using them. It's as simple as that. So currently 90% of all bus services in Devon are financed from the County Council. The other 10% are private. So there's a lot of money already invested to maintain the bus network. And if you were to look at the bus network actual routes, which I think I've sent you this before, many moons ago, but I'm happy to say it again. But it'll show you where the private services are, it'll show you where the subsidised services are. I can tell you now, outside of Exeter and outside of Exmouth, it's all subsidised. So you want to keep the buses, you want frequency of them, start getting on them. And that's Councillor Hart's answer to it, or the answer to ask that question as well. 4th Street, I'll be very careful what I say. Obviously, I have a vested interest. The only thing I want to ask you, what do you think we're going to use it for? There's a current owner on it. In terms of planning, it's a disappointment of mine, particularly Jeff as well, if you look around. Struggling with this, we've four proposed developments which have had a combined total of maybe 200 houses in Woodbury, which already knows a small village. There's no provision in any of them developments or proposed developments for supported living. There's no provision for carers, caregivers. There's no provision for homeless shelters. There's no consideration of any of this. It tends to always come back to affordables, which is great. However, it's not the only housing that we need. We see comments and we hear comments all the time which are incorrect that highways approved certain aspects of these developments. The highways department doesn't approve anything. It's a consultee, the same as this council is. It has no more say than you in terms of what your role is. You're all equal consultees. They'll offer advice, they won't do designs, they won't help in that respect. But the paragraph which I'll paraphrase, but it states quite clearly, particularly in the email chain I've been reading about
district council can feel free to ignore any and all advice that the county council offers. But that bit gets ignored. And it's Highways have said yes. It's not Highways' job to say yes, it's Highways' job to have a coaching team presence in some of these planning applications. And I'd ask, which is easy for me to ask because I'd have to pay the bill. I think the planning authority, if you are right with this, the planning authority is in a lot of danger because you don't have an housing supply. If you did have an housing supply, be a bit braver in what you want and what you're going to say yes and no to, because they're quite often here. But if I was to express a disappointment on the Woodbury Parish Councillors after the Broadway application, which was withdrawn because of issues around sewage, I understand that it was noted several times by district council that they couldn't say anything about the highway aspect of it because highways improved it. Your planning committee, sorry, it's not yours, East Devon's planning committee, if they choose to, they can say what they like, provided it would be in their plan and within the law. But highways doesn't improve any of these things. But I'd ask, just in general, when we're talking about planning, we need to be considering people that need to live independently, but they need to be supported, so they need different housing to most. So it's not just a question about affordable, it's a question about the different needs of different people. Well, that will take any questions, Chairman.
Thanks, Richard. And I think I'm right in saying the £2 fare is still continuing at the moment. How long does that go on until?
Till November next year.
Yeah, I know, it's as long as that. Yeah. So, yeah, you know. I did use the bus twice yesterday, and it was quite well used on both the services I was on. Do we have any questions for Richard? Tim?
Yeah, two or three points, please, Richard. I mean, one of your points was if you want to keep the buses, use them. One of the problems at the moment, of course, is been referred to already in this meeting, which is the buses are only very loosely based around their timetables often at this point. And I think people don't feel they can rely on them. So that's one thing. The other thing, I mean, having been on planning committee here and sat in on district planning committee, the main issue about highways comments, if you like, is that highways don't actually make comments on many applications, and that is one of the things that we would like to see more of, I think, as both town and district councillors. And the other thing I'd like to ask, and I mean, we have at this town council asked this before, for many years we have been supporting the 99E bus financially, and there is still no acknowledgement of it in the bus timetable, and I really think that ought to happen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I'll just bring to the defence of the 57 bus, actually. If you're running a 15-minute service, it's inevitable that some buses are going to catch up with other buses. And it's, I mean, how long has it been a joke that, you know, you wait for a bus and then two turn up at once? You know, it's nothing new. But I've got to say, as a regular bus user, I've got to say, yeah, the 57 is sometimes delayed, but the services I got yesterday, because it's a half-hour service, were more or less bang on time. I think 2 minutes adrift both times. And I've got to say, the 96 service runs like absolute clockwork, and the 97's pretty good as well. So, using buses a lot to get around the town, I've got to say they are pretty good. Now, I saw a hand up there, Matt. Yeah, and then Mike.
Thank you, Chair. As a qualified planner and dealing with appeals on a daily basis, I won't get into the role of the county highways, but I'm more than welcome if people want to ask me outside of this meeting. Question, please. With regards to, and I don't necessarily expect the answer tonight, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, not in stormy weather, two trees on the highway collapsed at the junction because particularly as storms get bigger, stronger, more often, and as a coastal town, we are really highly affected by these. We need to be certain, and as a town council, I feel we need to be aware of what the inspection regime is and how often they are checked so that we can reassure people. Thank you.
Richard, do you want to come back on that?
Any more questions? Any more? Sorry? Any more questions?
Yeah. Michael, do you have a question?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you could give any indication as to whether the county council would be welcoming the suggestion of working in partnership with the district council and the town council as proposed by the placemaking group.
Okay, thank you. And Paulie?
Can you tell us when our potholes are going to be filled? Some of them have been down there for 2 years now.
Well, it's not meeting with the issue of potholes doesn't come up, Richard, so over to you. I don't think we've got any more questions for Richard, so if you'd like to deal with those for you, Richard, thanks.
I'll go in reverse then. So in terms of potholes, probably going to change now when they're dealing with them over the next few months, particularly now when they are actually caught up on defects. So you may not agree with what a defect is, but quite often I don't. But generally, when they are working on a backlist, they will go over the pots of defects. Now that that's been called, we expect that we're going to see them go after patching. So a good example of the Madeira Villas, it doesn't meet the defect criteria, but it quite clearly needs repairing. If you've got particular potholes, again, report them. You'll get a response back from the particular officer who'll get assessed. But like I said, the next round is, this is a capital versus revenue money. So it makes it easier and quicker. And instead of you repairing the tiny patch, you'll get cut out and properly patched. But again, you need to report them. Councillor Rosser, yes, is the answer. What's your name?
Councillor Hall.
In terms of trees, I can't answer that question for you now, whether or not they're assessed. I can get you an answer back as to whether they're assessed and how often they've been assessed, but what the inspection routine is, which at least if you're happy, I'll get that response back to you. I mean, I am aware that they are inspecting trees all the time because I get the enforcement letters come through to tell them where people need to cut them down. In general, buses, when it comes to the numbers, I'll refer to Jeff because I use him as my bus timetable. Your point about the 99E, what acknowledgement are you looking for?
Just to say within the timetable, because what it says is that where services are supported, it says by Devon County Council, and the 99E actually, we as a town council make a financial contribution.
Yeah.
So to add to that, the town council.
Which I appreciate the point, the authority also pays a substantial amount of money for which Jeff and I ensure that continues, but I get the point you're making. In terms of buses, again, there's an issue where the town's kind of split in half, and again, Jeff would be best to speak on it because he's extremely passionate about buses, and he never stops talking to me about them. Your point you made, Chair, about the buses down here in 15 minutes, it is a good service. The problem comes is when it gets kicked out of all the right wing team, and then the buses are then turned straight back around the parade, back down the main way, back towards Exeter. So you may not feel it as much down this side of the town, because there'll be another bus along in 15 minutes, but you certainly feel it up in Brixington and the like, where the ones will come for an hour. But then the buses analogy becomes even more irritating when you wait an hour and two arrive. I think if you wait 10 minutes and two arrive, you'd probably be pleased. So the town's split in half, you know, that happens, and the 57 too often fails. Which, if you've got issues about bus service, put me right to get an eye on some plan. You've got Andrea coming to see you shortly anyway, reference the gateway and the level up bid. While she's here, talk to her about buses. If any buses are not trained, she's got nothing else to talk about. And I mean, actually, the part, which is a delightful lady, we enjoy it.
I'm saying is that it is quite often the case that town and district councillors think that a particular application perhaps should have had some highway implication, and highways have either not come back at all, or they have said no comment, etc. That's the point.
Okay, so you generally get that with, depending on how many houses or how many things in the development, so you generally would comment on one. If you are looking for a comment on one, then come back to us and we'll give you a comment on one, and to include that if any of input to it. So if I give you a particular example in Winston, or name where it is, again, it's one development.
Yeah.
We got an highways comment on it, which was favourable to the development not proceeding. But generally, I don't know the number off the top of my head, whether it's 10 or 15, there's a minimum number of plots before. I'll mention, Council, I don't know what it is you're inside onto highways, but I'll keep in mind just as infrastructure. So don't forget the ECC comments from an ecology point of view, a flooding point of view, a highways point of view, an infrastructure point of view, children's point of view, a school's point of view, there's many, many different consultations of the authority. As an elected member, I've been working for this in the government's review, I'm not happy, but I'm not satisfied. But I find out my responses to any planning application before a planning application actually is a planning application. So what I mean by this is the amount of work that takes place. And my personal opinion, and this is my personal opinion, I think as an authority we're far too cozy with developers. Now I'm in favour of development, but I'm in favour of development through a democratic process, not through a technocratic process. And this includes EDDC, which again, too much pre-op planning work takes place before residents find out, before parish councils find out. So I attended a meeting, would be last week again, about development, I won't name which one, where the residents rightly are frustrated that they can't actually change anything because 99% of consumption effective has been agreed behind closed doors, both in the planning authority and the infrastructure authority. So I, as a member, expect before any development conversation to take place in my division, our division, and Christine's, and how to change these rules, I don't know. The conversation takes place with us before it takes place with the developer, so we can explain to our officers exactly what the requirements are in the local area, both in our opinion and in people's opinion. So you mentioned about local plans, it's exactly the point. Woodley doesn't have an approved local plans, and Woodley's right to effectively just be given what it gets. But what it ain't getting, or what we're struggling with, is to get it what it wants from a local point of view. So you can have your local plans, but if you don't have policy documents in place, it's going to be difficult for the infrastructure officers at the Devon County Council to actually understand what you want, and then it's down to us to make sure it happens. So how we do it, what the rules will be, what the policy will be, I fully expect going forward any developments that are taking place before our officers discuss with developers, the local members get consulted first, or the conversations take place with the local members involved in them. Because I'm sure you all agree, that's the main point tonight, you get an highways comment, but I find out by 12 months after those conversations have been taking place. Fair enough.
Can I come back, Chair, on that? Just briefly, please.
Okay, yeah.
Just to say that, I mean, of course, we're quite lucky being a town council that we've got our own planning committee and we're planning officer and everything, and town clerk take part in assessing things. So we probably have a more detailed background than some of the Woodbury, for instance. And several times in my experience, we have gone back to highways and said, could we please have a comment on this, because we consider it vital that there is some sort of comment there. So that sort of thing has been done. We do feedback.
Yeah, but the only problem is quite often you're feeding back after many months of conversations have been taking place between developers and officers, and as an elected body,
yeah,
you're included in it more often than not at the last minute rather than at the start. So your neighbourhood plan, that's why your neighbourhood plan has to be robust.
thanks are noted, by the way, Richard, you know, as Chair of Strategic Planning, I take that on board. Yes, Brian.
Thank you, Chair. Richard, you may recall some time ago when you had a meeting in the swimming pool area about placemaking, and Aurora mentioned to you at a meeting here just after that there was no advertising for East Devon District Council as a sponsor for the placemaking. No, I beg your pardon, it wasn't the placemaking, it was a levelling up for the gateway. And she mentioned there was no mention of Exmouth Town Council being a sponsor or East Devon on the advertising. Has that been changed or not?
There's a press release going out imminently for the public consultation, and Orley has provided a quote, and the Town Council is acknowledged on that press release. I've seen the draft of it.
Right, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yes, I wrote my section about half 11 at night, 2 days too late as well. I didn't actually attend the consultation at the swimming pool. It was probably Jeff you were talking to. The question was asked by Councillor Bailey, not the last council meeting, the one before, reference and recognition, which I think was also the second round of consultation with you guys, with Stuart Jarvis. But I agree, it should be.
Thank you.
Okay, any more questions for Richard? Okay.
Just to say, Chairman, I'm sorry, I've got to leave.
Yes, I've got on again, Mark. Thank you. Okay, thanks very much for coming, and feel free to stay for the rest if you haven't had enough excitement already. I had the pleasure of meeting them, well, seeing them at least on Sundays.
My children.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everyone's pleasure with my. See you later.
Cheers, a fantastic job, Richard. Okay, I think I've done. So, item 7 was to receive an introductory presentation from Susanna Ford of the Exeter Food Action Group. Unfortunately, she's not well, so she won't be here. I moved her up to the front anyway, had she been here. Item 8 is to note the outcome of the Limited Assurance Review, the annual Governance and Accountability Return by PFK Little John LLP for 22-23.
It was satisfactory and there were no exceptions. There's nothing picked up, basically. So it was a clean return.
All noted. Excellent. As always. Good.
Thank you.
And finally, we need to appoint councillors to the following committees and working parties in place of Councillor Aurora Bailey and Councillor Angela Boatwright, the Trust Fund Working Party. Do we have any nominations for that? Tim?
Can I nominate Councillor Steve Gaznell, please?
Steve, are you happy to be nominated?
I didn't put my name forward, Chair, for the Exmouth Wealth and Trust.
Trust Fund.
Yeah.
Do you want to be the Trust Fund?
I think you're on the Trust Fund Working Party already,
aren't you? My mistake.
I can't remember. Who's on it?
How often does it meet?
Twice a year. The Trust Fund Working Party is actually really important because our trusts are registered with the Charities Commission, and we need councillors to act as the council as a corporate body acts as the trustee, but we need representatives on that Trust Fund Working Party because they act as the signatories for the trusts. With the resignation of Lynn and Tony Woodward, we are short of signatories, so that is probably the most important out of all of them. Pauline, are you happy?
No,
yeah?
No.
Okay.
Councillor Bailey had his hand up.
We'll take two.
No, I would like to recommend Fred Cagle for the position that was now vacant by the resignation of Angela Boatman.
On the Health and Wellbeing Board?
Indeed.
Oh, sorry.
So you could do Trust Fund Working Party first.
We're dealing with the Trust Fund Working Party at the moment, but I think we need to do one at a time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Happy to go on that one, Chair. Thanks, Steve.
Do you need seconders?
We'll vote them all on block to the end, yeah.
Joe's happy to second that one. Okay, Planning Committee, we need a representative.
It's Brixington, it's not Littling,
Littling
Ward, no,
it's
Brixington, yeah.
We're going to need a representative. Do I have anybody from Brixington willing to be on? Sorry?
Can we just do a little advert?
Yes, please do, Joe. Yeah, yeah.
It's really good fun, and you get to make some decisions which, as we've heard tonight, are really worthwhile. Lisa, do we need somebody from the town ward as well?
Yes, but.
And Halston ward.
So.
And Halston as well.
Yeah, so anybody.
We are lacking
yeah.
representation on the
it's,
planning committee.
It's become quite a small committee. It was a little bit more sizeable. And we do have the issue, for example, in town ward, and I know that's probably not going to change, that you have many chairs in it, being the only town ward representative on there, and it's quite difficult for me to chair a meeting and argue with myself as to whether or not I think an application should be accepted or not, although Tim is very helpful with that. So come join us, it's fun.
Okay.
My worker.
I'm off the hook because I can't.
You can't, yeah, and that's actually the problem with quite a few people in the area, that they can't. So.
Likewise, Chair. So.
So would anybody from any ward apart from Withycombe, I think, Withycombe's all
Littleham's
right.
fully represented.
Littleham and Withycombe. Tim?
I'd like to nominate Andy Toy for Halston.
And I'll second you.
All around
the Okay. Any more? Okay, well, we've got one more. Yeah, I did notice that on one of the sets of minutes I looked at, there weren't many there, as I remember, being on the planning committee, there'd be a dozen members.
We should have 11 members. Have 11,
yeah.
But we regularly don't have more than 5 or 6.
No,
so.
No, it's just quite difficult.
And it's not quora unless we have 4 people attending, so,
Okay, we have at least one more, thanks Andrew. The Web Community Health and Wellbeing Board, that was the one we...
Brian's already suggested Fred.
Thank you.
Okay, did we have anybody else?
Yeah, can I?
Yes, Steve.
Propose Tim Dunbar, please.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
I'd like to propose Tim Dunbar.
Chair, may I just say a word in support of Fred?
Yes, please do.
Thank you very much. As many of you will know, Fred served on this committee previously, and due to the democratic process, he was removed in favour of Angela Boatman. Fred's got a lot of experience on this committee. He's got a lot of experience in caring for people, and he's got a lot of experience within the NHS from his personal experience and from his dedication to the situation. And I find him very, very helpful, very compassionate and very considerate. He's an excellent councillor, a good speaker, puts his point across. So that's why I'm supporting him. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
time. Do you want to speak for Tim, Steve?
Well, likewise for Councillor Tim Duncan. He's got plenty of experience in exactly the same things that you've said for Councillor Cahill. He has been attending as a deputy to these meetings, so I think he's qualified on that respect as well, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Aurora, did you want to say something?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to second Fred Cahill, please. I've already done thank you for the same reasons.
I think he's been nominated and seconded twice. Did we have a seconder for Tim?
David.
Okay.
We only have one? Is that a fact?
Yep.
We only need one representative. Okay, well, we'll have to have a vote on it then. So we'll take those in alphabetical order. So all in favour of Fred?
Eight votes.
Okay, and all in favour of Tim?
Ten.
Okay. I will abstain. Steve.
Would it be sensible, as we have two candidates that wanted to do it, to have the one who's the runner-up to be a deputy?
They don't allow us to nominate two people.
Okay.
No.
Sorry,
no.
There is no deputy.
There isn't a deputy, and in fact, although Tim attended, that was an informal arrangement between Tim and Angela. He wasn't. We don't have the opportunity to have a substitute. So it is one representative.
Can I just ask then, because I'm also sat as a substitute on district council, so I don't know whether district council are allowed to do that or whether that was informal as well.
I don't know.
Not sure.
I don't know.
Okay, Tim is nominated for the web board, and Expert Welfare Trust, Joe, you want to say something?
Yeah, just briefly, Councillor Heidi Ragg of District Council has asked that, although we're looking here for a councillor to sit on the Exmouth Welfare Trust, they're actually looking for a trustee as well, so if anybody is interested in that, I guess speak to Lisa who can pass them on or email Councillor Lady Mack.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Joe.
So Councillor Gazzard was proposed as the representative for the Welfare Trust, I believe.
Yeah, okay. That was by Tim. We have a seconder, Joe. Thank you. Any other nominations? Oh, good. Fine. All in favour then? Thank you. Good. That's carried. I don't know if we actually did the others, did we?
So we haven't, because we were going to do them on block,
yeah.
And then you took the Health
we
and Wellbeing
to, yeah,
Board
separately.
So I haven't got...
the Trust Fund Working Party.
I haven't got proposers and seconders for all of them.
Okay, so the Trust Fund Working Party, who was that?
Tim proposed.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've got a seconder.
Yeah.
No, the Welfare Trust.
Oh yes, Steve was already on it. Oh,
so it was Pauline and Steve that we were going to put forward for the Trust Fund, weren't we?
Yeah.
So if
they were talking about the Welfare Trust. Are you already on the Welfare Trust?
No.
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 That was that.
Yeah, I've just worried about the confusion.
So yeah, no, so I'm, yeah, so the Welfare Trust, Tim proposed you and I need a seconder for that.
I'll second it.
I think Joe seconded.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter, just for the record.
Yeah.
And then the Trust Fund Working Party, Pauline, I need a proposal and a seconder.
I'll propose, Pauline.
Who seconded? Steve. Okay. And then Andrew Toy to Holsden, Tim Dumper proposed. Who seconded that? Joe Wibley. Okay, thank you. It doesn't matter, we just need to ratify it. That's fine, okay.
That's the planning committee. So do we need to vote on those? Or?
Yeah, please, just on block now.
Great, so all in favour of those nominations?
Thank you.
And that is it for tonight. We were going to have an item 10, but in view of, is it okay if I say this, Mike? In view of the fact that we have the visit from Andrew Davis coming up, and the other discussions that have gone on, Mike has decided to withdraw that, but it will come back on the agenda for December, possibly, depending on the outcome of Wednesday night's meeting. But I think the points Mike made about everybody working together were well made, and they still need a resolution. So I don't want to have a lot of discussion about this, so if we can very brief points, please. Brian?
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to give apologies for Aurora and myself, because we won't be available on Wednesday.
They've been noted.
Thank you, Brian. David, did you?
I was just going to ask the Chair and the Town Clerk, the December meeting, will that be a budget meeting?
Probably not, because we normally do the budget as a separate briefing meeting, and then the budget is ratified in January, because the precept deadline is normally the end of January. It's doubtful that I will have the council tax base figures that will enable me to tell you what the Band D projected is for the December meeting. So we normally do all the prep work, not as part of the council meeting, but as a briefing meeting. Also, because it takes several hours to go through the budget line by line, and it's too cumbersome really to incorporate that in a normal council meeting with all the regular business. So I'd anticipated it being a briefing meeting, not a council meeting. And then in January, you just rubber stamp it because you've teased out everything you want to tease out at the briefing.
I just want to ask the question, will the December meeting be busy? So we can't actually discuss properly the gateway agreement, which do we start thinking about having a separate meeting for the gateway because it is such important investment?
So we could potentially have an extraordinary meeting. You know, if we can fit one in, that's fine.
Hopefully we'll get some answers on Wednesday, and then we can perhaps decide from there whether further discussion is needed. There's a consultation, of course, as well, which we perhaps may wish to respond to. Steve, see your way from.
Yeah, no, thank you, Jeff. I just wanted to say thank you to Councillor Mike also for deferring his motion. It's appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks.
Item 11.
Oh, yes, I didn't notice there was one over the page. Oh, yes. So on your tables, you have the calendar of meetings. So it's just to agree those. I don't think there's
anything. Do you propose,
All in favour of the calendar of meetings?
So can I just say, before we the meeting is still being recorded for the moment, we will now send out all the Outlook invites to these meetings, but if you want to make notes in paper diaries, etc., they've now been ratified and they will be sent out.
Okay. Matt, did you want to say something?
Yes. Is there any chance, I have asked several times, can the town maintenance working group meetings be moved at any other time than a Thursday morning? Because it's basically the only time work doesn't allow me to be flexible.
other morning would be
any other morning, afternoon, take your pick other than Thursday.
I think you better speak to Ian, because Ian's got constraints as well about when he can attend meetings as the chair, so perhaps you could talk offline, and then if there's a compromise, I'm sure Chetna would be happy to go along with that. Yeah.
Thank you everybody for attending tonight. The meeting is breaking up, so can I just thank you all, and the meeting is now officially closed.